Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, the ones that are listening live, the ones that are taped in there, wish them all a happy St. Paddy's Day. Even though Screwdriver and I are 100% Irish, on this day, remember, the whole world's Irish. I want to thank all of our listeners for remember, without you guys, it's only Screwdriver and I talking. We had some great people last week, some good people coming on tonight.
Right.
We've had some runs. Last week, you and I had a good party we went to there. It was pretty good.
That was pretty good. And Tuesday night, I got some emails. They want to know if your mom's okay. Everything's fine.
I appreciate that very much. I've got not long ago, so if you remember, I lost my sister. My mother's, she's not that far with me left. So it takes a lot of things I got to take care of and all that. But I want to congratulate you on running the show all by yourself. It shows you don't need me for nothing, you know. I'm lucky you give me access to the Thursday show. Now that you're almost rich and famous and you're well on
your
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If I had that, I wouldn't be working 7 days a week. No, actually five, but.
Yeah. So overall, we got some good stuff coming up. I don't want to talk about the. I'm going to mention the Bikers Against Diabetes ride, but we won't talk about this too much because you and I got some more planning to do on that. But we will be doing an event against diabetes coming up in June. We will be doing a big event here for the paralyzed vets at the VA hospital in San Diego. That's coming up.
That's coming up on Saturday, April 9th, Bill. And we're lining up a couple of people for that and some other things. But
that's to help the guys at the VA hospital in San Diego.
Right. That's to help the transportation funds to keep the bus running. So.
Exactly.
Well, we got a couple of things lined up, and we're just waiting for confirmation.
Yeah, there's something we don't want to slip out of the bag yet.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about it yet, but once we get aware, we'll be good to go.
If we say something, we want to make sure it's solid like that.
Right.
Some celebrities, some VIP, a little this, a little that, we hope and all that.
And what I wanted to talk about, first thing, Bill, was if you remember a couple of weeks ago.
It's a hard time to remember a couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned this, and you thought it was pretty cool that they would name this guy. The building after this guy in Indiana. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
That?
Wait. Balls.
Harry Balls. Harry Balls is the guy's name. Okay, but right now.
Good guy.
This came out of Fort Wayne, Indiana today. Harry Balls, or building won't have Harry Balls, or have Balls' name. A new government building in Fort Wayne, Indiana may officially be called Citizen Square, but to some not so square citizens, it will always be Harry Balls Government Center. Okay?
Yeah.
Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry announced the new city and country and county government center name Monday. The most popular choice for the building online in the online poll, which I voted on, was the Harry Balls Government Center. I just want to give you an update on that one.
That's good because this guy was a good politician. He did an awful lot for that area and for semantics. Lack of a word, they're ashamed to put his name out there, but he did a lot of work for that city, so shame on that city.
Right. And then this one here is out of Denver, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This woman decided that police in Denver suburbs say a woman was arrested on suspicion of drunk driving after she complained to the officers how they parked their patrol cars while they were investigating a DUI-related crash. They told Catherine Morse, 49, was taken into custody after she walked up, leaving her car running in the middle of the street to police to say she's trying to move the car in a crash Sunday. He says officers told Morris to return to a car, and she became belligerent with telling them it was a stupid place for a traffic stop. That's when the officers realized she was too drunk to drive.
too drunk to drive, so she goes up and starts to beef with a cop.
Right.
Listen,
now,
people, that's stupid.
Exactly. Now, the other one I had, this one's on Oceanside Today, Bill. I showed you this before we went on the air. Okay. It seems that every county government, every state, we're all in hot water. Nobody has enough money to do anything, correct?
Layoffs everywhere.
They got, layoffs everywhere. They got to find the money from somewhere. So, here's what happens. The crash tax gets an axe from the city council. The panel majority fee brought in little cash, hurt city's image. The so-called crash tax that charges a fee to out-of-towners who get into crashes that require emergency help from the city was repealed Wednesday by the Oceanside City Council.
Right.
Okay. We don't want policies that scare tourists away.
I wouldn't come to Oceanside if that law was passed. If that policy was passed.
No, it was passed.
I said if I was out of town, I wouldn't come in Oceanside
The Yahoos down there figured out that they said annually it would bring in $266,000. It was adopted last year in April.
Yeah.
Okay, they repealed it this week.
No one even knew about it, really.
No one knew about it. Now, you know, how much do you think it brought in for the year, Bill?
That I don't have a clue even. I don't.
$16,000. Okay? As well as Felon, the city councilman, says he doesn't want to scare away any tourists.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing, though.
They're scaring away everybody.
If you go to an accident, you find out you got to pay for all this because you're from another city.
They're scaring away everybody. We sat in a room with two Yahoos that told us they weren't going to pick on anybody on a motorcycle.
That's right.
What fucking liars they were, huh?
And what do we tell them that what they're doing is affecting not just the motorcycle community.
Affecting everybody.
Affecting the gas station. Everybody. Affecting restaurants. 7-Eleven. We have a lot of people that circumvent our little city and go down to the next town.
Exactly.
Because they don't want to be hassled. They want to go in, stop, and have a beer or sit down and have some lunch and not be hassled. And yet we can't have that in our town.
No.
They're sending the business elsewhere. The business that pays their taxes, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the other, I just unmuted our friend Todd. Todd, are you there?
Yeah, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Todd, how you doing? On the line, folks, we have Todd Chaney. Todd, you wanted to tell us about a new business venture you're involved in?
Yeah, I started a bail bondsman business, and it's working out quite well. It's an interesting business, I have to say that. So, if anyone's got any questions...
Let me interrupt you a second. Can you tell us about your background? Do you ride a motorcycle? Do you do any type of business? Tell us a little about your past, if you would, sir.
My past
the part you can't share with us.
I was an electrical contractor for 27 years. I've ridden motorcycles since I was 8 years old. Down to Mexico, Thailand, Cambodia, South Korea, Indonesia, Fiji, ridden motorcycles all over the world. I manage MMA fighters, professional fighters too. I used to do kickboxing and MMA fighting in my younger days. Now I'm 46 years old and those days are behind me, so I can scrap pretty good. And now I'm riding bail and doing bounty hunting both. So,
okay, let me ask you this, a lot of people don't know this, Todd. First of all, you and I have been friends for many, many years. A relative of mine gets arrested. I don't know what to do. I've never had a relative arrested. How do you come in? How do you help the family get over this? What's the procedure, brother?
First thing you do is you contact a bail agent. And you want to make sure you contact a trusting bail agent. There's some shady guys out there. But overall, they're all licensed. They have to be licensed through the Department of Insurance. You have to be licensed qualified to post bail. And then you start talking to your client and the family members, and you're going to see if you want to post bail for this customer. And they call them an arrestee. They're not a defendant until after they've been released. So the arrestee's in jail. The normal protocol is state laws. You have to pay 10% to the bail agent. That's called the premium. Then we post the bail. Then we go down and we get him out of jail, and we have him sign the contracts, and we also have the indemnitor, which is a co-signer. And if the bail is really high, let's say it's like a heavy bail, we're going to ask for like property liens, assets, collateral, and several co-signers, which we refer to as in business as an indemnitor. And then we'll post bail. And then when we post your bail, we're going to tell you when you have to appear in court. And you damn well better appear in court. Because if you don't appear in court that day, by that evening, you'll have a warrant for your arrest. And then I'll go get you. Either I'll go get you or I'll take you back in and rebook you for another 10%. So it's up to you to make sure you get back to court and take care of your situation. And
okay, let me ask you now, if my family member, say my wife, gets picked up for drunk driving, I don't know what to do. Am I going to call you up? Are you going to sit down and say, hey, listen, man, you know, this is what we have to do. We're going to go over the steps over here. Are you here as a friend? Are you here as a businessman? What type of impression am I going to get when I call you up? When I got this problem, I don't know how to deal with it.
Two ways you can approach this. If you're nice to me and cool with me, I'll be really good with you. By law, like if your wife got arrested in County of San Diego for a DUI, she has to post bail. Bail is $2,500, so you're going to pay me $250 to get her out. Now, if she hurts somebody, that charge would completely go higher. That could go $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. So she gets a DUI, we go down, we release her, and we have you guys sign all the paperwork, and you pay us our 10%, and we give you the court date. And then you appear in court, and you get your sentencing. Then the bond is exonerated, and we have no problems, and you're on your merry way. And depending on the charges, like domestic violence, starting in the County of San Diego, is $25,000. So you and your wife get in a tiff. The cops show up. Someone is usually going to get arrested, be it male or female. And it's either one. It goes either way nowadays. Because the state of California wants you two separated. So what they're going to do is arrest somebody. I'm going to go bail you out. You're going to pay me $2,500. And usually they drop the case 95% of the time. They don't like to get involved in lovers' fight and things
so,
like that.
So what I
want to
know is that if this happens and I call you or another bail bondsman, hopefully they're going to call you, are you going to pick up the phone, say something to me, and then say, here is the formula. I'm going to walk you through it. You don't have any
Correct.
More concerns or problems, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to help you get this accomplished and get your wife back home or whatever it is. That's what I want to know. If somebody calls you, are you there to say, I'm going to walk
anytime.
You through the whole program?
Anyone can call me. I'll tell you what, I'll give you guys my number, and your clients and your friends can call me, and if they have any questions, my phone number is 760-877-1300. Number again is 760-877-1300. And you can call and pick my brain anytime. But usually what I like to do is with my customers is I walk them through the process because it's my best interest that they go to court, show up, and either get the case dismissed or get their punishment and the whole thing is behind us. So it's definitely in my interest to be calling you to remind you to go to court, and I'll even pick you up and take you there. So I've had a lot of people I've rebooked again before. So that's the way I approach my business. Other bail agents are quite so nice.
So if a situation arises, and again, I'll blame my poor wife again. She's never been arrested ever in her life, but if she gets arrested on Wednesday and I contact you, how soon could you get my wife out of jail if all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed? Is it 2 days, 3 days, a week? What does it take?
Sometimes
we work
it's only like
out?
4 to 6 hours, Bill, and sometimes it might be 3 days, depending on the charge and the court system, how booked up they are. Like, say, a weekend or holiday. You might not even get out until, like, Tuesday. Now, usually, as soon as I get the phone call, I'm on it. I'm already checking the jail, checking to see when your release is going to be, and I physically go down there to see how you're doing and when we can get you out. Then I contact your family members and tell you what's going on, and I'm Johnny on the spot. So as soon as they're out, I actually post them out, and I physically walk them out. And then I usually either give them a ride home or I meet their family members or boyfriend, girlfriend. And we finish the rest of the contract, and everything's good. So long as you appear in court, we're all happy and fine. Each case
so what you're saying again
like
is that you're a professional businessman and all that, but as I call you up, I'm distraught and crazy. You're trying to come across as a friend. You're trying to say, I'm going to help you through this. We know you're a professional
business. Job description. I have to be the coolest one here where everyone else is in a panic mode, and it's my job description to keep everything calm and cool and dot all the I's and cross all the T's and make sure everybody gets their paperwork, and if anyone has any questions, they ask me. And then again, I also drill them to make sure they know what they're supposed to do. I want to make sure there's no ifs or ands or buts. Everything has to be clear, so that way you don't get any more trouble. You're already in trouble, so let's get you out of trouble. That's a good approach to
excellent,
take. That
excellent. A lot of people don't understand too much of a bail bonds, but I think everybody knows about that 10% more or less. But I don't think people realize that you're offering a service, but you come across as a friend. You're in a lot of trouble. I'm going to show you the path to get this resolved. follow
right.
the information what the Todd Cheney's given, and that loved one's going to be getting out of jail. That's the result I want. That's, I think,
correct.
The people listening to you want to get that result. Just get my family home.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Most people don't know, there's a bail schedule set by the local judges. So Riverside and L.A. will have a different bail fee schedule than the county of San Diego. So each city and county or court jurisdiction will have a different bail schedule and a different amount. So it's up to me as a bail agent to know exactly which warrant it is. So I do L.A. County, L.A., Riverside, and San Diego. That's my working area. That's the area I travel in. So I'm adapted to all the court systems and all the jails. I'm pretty familiar with them.
I'm kind of curious. I know that I heard that bail bonds and all that, that's a lot of tough schooling and testing you got to take with the state. Is that true or is that exaggeration?
The testing has gotten quite difficult. The state of California is flat-ass broke, and the exam they give you is very tricky. Oh, my God. They try and do everything they can to foul you up. And before, your license is only good for 1 year, then you have to redo it. Now the state is, as of this year, every bail agent's license is now good for 2 years before you have to re-exam. And actually, that's kind of a benefit for us. I like that because that test is very difficult. I use a guy up north in California named Rex. And he has a company called Bail Speak, and he does bounty hunting and bail bond license training. And he's very intelligent, very good guy. He's been doing it for 30 years. I'm glad I'm working with him.
Well, you know, I got a motorcycle shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside, and I've got a lot of Todd's cards down there. I guess everybody hopes we never need Todd.
Yeah, in fact, when I saw him Saturday, he gave me a handful of cards, told me I was going to need him after he talked to one of the mutual.
The way Phil's behaving, he's going to need me. Phil,
if you want to tell that story, go ahead.
I got to say that.
If you want to tell that story, go ahead.
No, you tell the story.
Well, I don't know about the story. What the hell happened? Somebody
hand.
Tell me.
Mine would be secondhand. You tell
the
story.
Tell it.
Okay. Apparently, Philip, if I get the gist right, was out riding his motorcycle one night, got mad at the cops, strapped a handgun to his side, in a holster, unloaded, registered with an open carry. I think you had a ball peen hammer and a knife also tied down to your saddlebag.
Right.
And the cops
also a helmet.
Over. I'm sure the cops shit his pants when he saw you riding through downtown with a handgun strapped to your side, balls here and life. And then they pulled you over, and of course they asked for backup. And I said to you, you better not reach for that gun, because if I was a cop, I'd shoot you too. And as a bail agent, I'd shoot you if you reach for that gun. Apparently they pulled
right.
you over, took your gun, you asked for the watch commander. They said the watch commander wasn't necessary. They took your gun, took your knife, hammer. And didn't they take your helmet, too?
Yeah, that's the one I have. That's the one I wear now that has the evidence sticker on top of it.
Right.
That they found out they couldn't take.
They left you on foot with no helmet. Did you try and drive off without your bike without a helmet?
Of course I did, brother.
Good for you. Did they hook you up after that or let you go?
No, they didn't bother me after that.
So you went to court.
I just went around the block and grabbed the other watch commander from the other side of town and talked to him. And he'd call that guy over and chewed his ass for 45 minutes and told him he was absolutely wrong, everything he did.
They should have known better. But you have to remember, the new breed this day of law enforcement doesn't have...
Well, the new breed here has... They have five guys with DUIs who are still riding around in a car and carrying a gun because the motorcycle presence is so strong.
Yeah,
that's
I find that ridiculous.
That's the answer I got.
They're just looking for more money and the boogeyman factor. The boogeyman's out there, so we have to fortify because the boogeyman can get us, which would be you guys, which I find kind of funny myself. But, yeah, you won that one.
But don't say we.
Court.
You know, my gray hair.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
Just so you know, Todd, I seen a paper that they have. Did you know Bill's the president? I'm the vice president.
Don't be saying no names.
I'm not going to. And all the guys downtown are our underlings.
No, we're talking about that city right now.
That's the thing
that's
right now.
Cute.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I thought first you had to be a member if we could be. But they got me marked down as the president, and Scooter was the VP of the organization downtown. Again, I thought you had to be in the club first.
Guys, we call them CIs in the business, confidential informants. And I'm sure they got some really low-life people trying to save their own butt. that I threw your name up, but I wouldn't even get into that conversation. That thing is way beneath me. But you have to watch the cops these days. They're definitely up to
As soon as I saw that list, I just turned around. I started laughing. I turned around and walked away.
That is pretty funny, Phil. That's good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
Now, don't you got something going on with one of your partners on MTV or something coming up? Is that still going on?
Manny Rodriguez is my partner in the bail bonds business, and he's a commentator for Bellator, and they do
Bellator fighting. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so he's on Sunday night on MTV. Big burly looking Mexican guy with a smile of an axe murderer and glasses on. But yeah, he's very good at it. He's another ex fighter. So now
he's been in Bellator for the next several weeks. You said?
Yeah, next MTV for the next 11 weeks.
Oh, outstanding.
If you send me the links, I'll put them up on the blog for you. Also, I'm still waiting for you to send me the link to get to you on. Are you online with this bail bonds thing?
Yeah, we're online. They're actually redoing the website right now as we're going to speak. It's under construction.
Okay,
as
soon as they get that up, send me an email. It's on the email address is on the back of the card I gave you.
Okay, I'll do that. And if your guests have any questions, they can give me a call. And they can pick my brain for free. Okay, guys?
All right, man. You take care. Anytime, you're welcome anytime, brother.
Yeah, we want you to come on intermittently. Give us some more information about this. Because really, very few of us civilians know what the hell bail bondsman is. All we know is we need you. The rest of the time, nothing.
The history of bail. The history of bail started from England, and we brought it over from the colonies. That's a fascinating thing to learn, the history of bail, especially in America.
What we'll do with that then is, Todd, next week I'll extend some more time to you, and we'll come on and we'll discuss that.
Here's the history from day one, as you're talking about. That'd be interesting. I'd like to hear it.
We can set that up for next Thursday if your schedule permits.
Yeah, call me. I'll definitely take care of it for you guys.
All right, buddy. I'll ring you up tomorrow.
Nice. I'll see you during the week, all right?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Why do you always get in trouble when I'm not around?
I know, huh?
I don't know.
Hello, caller.
Yes.
Hey, Pete, how you doing, man?
I'm sick as a dog, bro.
Okay, yeah. Well, what we're going to do, I'm going to leave you unmuted, but I'm going to make this call real quick, and you can just stay online. And after you hear who this is, if you have any questions after we talk to him, I'll let you chime in, okay?
Yeah, Phil, I think Gino's on hold, too. He's definitely calling in, so...
Okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a call. We're gonna bring on our special guest tonight, one of our special guests. We have three. We're going to go in rotation, and one of them's going to stay on with us for a while. So I'm going to call him right now. And if you want, if you got the sound or anything in the back, anything that's going to disrupt him talking, turn it down for me.
I muted my TV.
Okay. So I'll leave you unmuted for right now, okay?
Okay, bro, right on.
Okay, this who we're going to call right now is going to be, his name is Andy McPhee. He's the guy who played the president of the Belfast chapter on the Sons of Anarchy last season. He's been an actor for a while. He's got a very interesting story before he became an actor, and I'm not going to divulge that. But he was on Criminal Minds a couple weeks ago, and he was on last night, and it was pretty good, and we'll talk about that when I get him on, Bill.
That's the same guy when I first met him. I tried to throw him off the roof, right?
Yeah.
He got along much better since then.
Yeah. Well, if you want to tell that story real quick.
Okay.
All right. I'm dialing out right now, and we'll get him on the horn here.
It's been interesting having the Todd with the, and that's something you're going to need anyway.
Hello. Hello. Okay.
I think we lost him.
We'll try it again, Bill.
All right, Pete, you got your own bail bondsman, or just as Philip has his own bail bondsman? You got anything out there like that?
You want to hear something funny about bail bondsmen in Massachusetts? Here's the law with bail bondsmen and process servers: require no licensing, no training, nothing. Anybody, Charlie Manson could do it if you wanted to. A criminal could do it. Anybody can do bail bondsman. Anybody can do process serving. However, to be a constable, where you actually can make a capious arrest, you have to be licensed by the mayor, by the town. But to be a bail bondsman or a bounty hunter, a process server, Anybody can do it. And a lot of people, a friend of mine, has made a lot of money doing process serving and bounty hunting. And there's no license requirement or training or anything. You just start your own business. You know, Massachusetts is a joke, man. It really is.
Now, the one in California, he said it was driving him crazy going back up to Sacramento from San Diego, taking the test, and he had to take one in L.A.
I checked the laws on bounty hunting. I can't believe what they require.
Okay, hold on a second. We'll see if we can get back
to that later, people.
Hey, mate. Yo.
Hey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
Good. I'm good.
Okay. So, Andy, I'm sitting here with Bill. You remember Bill, the gray-haired guy that was with me when we met you?
The one that thinks he's as good-looking as me.
We weren't going to go there, but you know.
There's only one handsome Irishman here, brother, right here.
And how you both going?
Actually, there's two of us sitting here.
I didn't know Australia was part of Ireland until I found out I met you. You told me.
Oh yeah, we'll take anybody.
Hey, so what it is I've been I just want to give a little background here. I've been talking to Andy for a while now to try and get him on the show, and when his schedule permitted, and today his schedule permitted. And
sort of. I'm hanging out the front of a theater while we're going to a screening, but that's cool.
You still with us, Andy? Did we lose you?
No, I think we lost him.
We lost him again.
Yeah. Well, let me do it this way, Bill.
Take your time with that. I'll go back and talk to Pete
sure,
about
go
that.
Ahead.
Yeah, this is a friend of mine, Todd. He's a stand-up. What I like about the guy, he's got the patience of the saint. But more important, Pete, he's backed me up in about four times in the past 10 years at least. He didn't have to get involved in my business, but four times he's lend a hand when the numbers were really staggering, stupid. He never backed down once, and yet he's the calmest, coolest person I've ever met. Refrains from getting stupid. He has a little bit, but doesn't refrain. He never goes over the edge. Patient, soft-spoken, will they take
care
of himself.
Number to call would be 347.
I think he's going to do a lot of good for us guys here in the biker community anyway.
Sounds like a nice guy.
Well, he's a good guy to have if you're in trouble. I've been in deep numbers going way against me. He never faced him one bit. So, he didn't have to. Of course, I've helped him out when he got a problem in Palm Springs here and there. So, I respect a man that when he puts it back to the wall, he stands right there with you. So, I think his business... I'm pushing it because I think he's stand up good people. Andy's been in Mexico with me many, many times, and I.
347.
The Mexico stories are just wonderful, but we'll skip them for tonight.
347.
You know, the bail bondsman, I may need one.
Hey, Bill, somebody. Gino's number showing up there?
It would be better if you call me, then we won't.
Be 978 number.
Hold on a second, we. Is Gino's number up here, too?
I don't see it.
No, I didn't see it.
I don't see it.
Okay, he's going to be calling in.
Hey.
Let's see who this is. Hold on.
We got another caller. Hang on, brother.
Hello, caller. 951?
Yeah, 951.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the show. Who are you, please?
Just a little campground.
I'm sorry. Who is this, please? We can't hear you.
I think that's... Hey, Merlin, I think you're going to have to put on your tinfoil hat and stand on one leg. Can you try calling back?
I'm in Oklahoma.
Can you try calling back?
Yeah.
Okay, try calling back.
We're not getting shit reception off you. The only real word I heard you say was campground and yeah.
He's gone. Hello, Todd. Are you still there, Todd?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you listening?
I didn't hear you guys.
If you want, I'll leave you unmuted if you have any questions for Andy. He's going to be calling back in a second here.
Okay.
He's up at a premiere. His son's an actor also, and he's up at a premiere, and he took the time to come outside and call the show.
Hey, Todd, by the way, did you hear me and Pete talking about the New England laws or Massachusetts laws about being a bail bondsman. He said they're a joke. And I mentioned you had
they
a real hard schedule.
Yeah,
people have thought any questions?
Really difficult. Others are really easy, guys. I mean, California, the reason why you don't see Dog the Bounty Hunter out here, because the rules are a lot different than Hawaii and Colorado where you see them out.
Big time, big time.
This state is hardcore. So,
well, Dog found out when he went to Mexico, the rules were a little different down there, too, huh?
You know, Dog was a devil's disciple. He was in the devil's disciples at one time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to snatch a guy out of Mexico, and this is just an academic thing, you're not going to tell the cops that you're a bounty hunter or a bail agent. Because, first of all, that's illegal. And you're kidnapping the guy. That's what they got Dog on.
Yeah.
So there's ways of getting people out of Mexico. You can have them brought up to the fence and pushed on through without physically going on to Mexican territory. I would definitely not recommend going down to Mexico and advertising that I'm a bail agent or a bounty hunter. That is not very wise. You'll be doing some serious time. The Mexicans get pissed at that stuff. There's other ways you can do that stuff. But on bail, guys, the history of bail, I'll give you a little run-through on it. It started in England. When Americans came over and we started the colonies, we started that here. And the cool thing about bail bonds and things is you can literally arrest a guy, take him back to jail, because it's a civil agreement. You haven't taken his constitutional rights away. You can take people's properties if they don't play to the balls of the game. And it's a lot of fun, I have to say that. But there's also a lot of disappointment because people will let you down. It's definitely a good time. I'm definitely learning each time as I go through this. I'm learning a lot. So I look forward to getting up in the morning, and I look forward to staying up late at night. I like it a lot.
Gee, I wish I had that attitude.
Huh?
That's a good attitude to have, man. Right on.
Yeah, it is, and you need to do it, because sometimes you meet some of the worst people, then other times you meet totally innocent people, and you want to help them out, like, hey, this guy's totally, you screwed this guy around, let's see if we can help him out and get this case dismissed, or play the system to his benefit, so he doesn't have to get marked for the rest of his life. And
Tony, can I put you
like
hold on a second?
Books.
We're going to bring Andy in for Sons of Anarchy.
What I'll do
Belfast
is,
again. So listen a little bit.
What I'll do is I'll leave you guys unmuted and then I'll open it up for questions after we schmooze here a little bit.
We'll get Pete and Todd back together again too. All right, what do
hold
we got?
On. Merlin.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to bring Andy McPhee on right now. So I'm going to leave you unmuted. If you have any questions, let him finish talking and then I'll bring you guys in to talk. Okay.
He's got
to
get off real
got
quick.
It.
Okay. Andy.
Hello.
Hey, Andy.
How you
I was
mate?
Telling Bill about what you told me about what you did before you became an actor. Can you tell our listening audience about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I was. I used to work at. If this is for people in Australia, I used to work at Myers, and I lasted 12 months there and got the sack for letting stink bombs off in the cafeteria. So I don't know if that had anything to do with my acting career starting, but then I joined the railways and was a locomotive engineer or driver for about 14, 15 years, and left that, got sick of the shift work, good job, but tired of the shift work, and started running my own businesses, just different things, and I was a professional wrestler for, took up that back then, I did that for 20 years, and that got me into the film business, you know, doing a commercial, so bit of bouncing, bit of security, slapped a few people and got slapped around myself, so not a hero, mate, just a bloke who thinks he's tough but gets his ass kicked every now and again.
Hey, how'd you get in the rowboat from Australia all the way to America? How'd you end up this way?
With my kids, like my son, he did a movie where he got best actor, so he ended up coming to America, and that was about 3.5-4 years ago. So then when we all came over, and we've lived here for about 4 years now, we head back home every now and again to do work. We've probably got 3 or 4 jobs to go back home to this year and do. But yeah, once we got here, mate, I just do what I've always done and started looking for work, and we all got agents and managers, and since then I've probably done 14 jobs here, a lot of independent films, short films, Sons of Anarchy, Criminal Minds. Doing a feature film next week where I'm playing a white supremacist dude, which will be cool because I've not played that before. So, yeah, and then heading back home to do a few independents there and some TV stuff.
Hey, just to enlighten you right now, we have 119,000 people, 417 listening in the United States. We have 11,200 listening in Canada. Germany has 7,483. Australia, we're at 5,417 and climbing.
And those guys say you owe them money. They want to know when you're coming home.
Well, yeah, actually, I was actually just going to get on that track myself and said if everyone donates, you know, just a dollar, I could stop working.
God, that's the way this guy thinks.
Well, that's cool, mate. That's actually really, that's extraordinary. That's really amazing. So, yeah,
Brazil,
hello to everyone.
Hey, Brazil, we got 3,937. In Denmark, we have 3,635. In South Korea, we got 9. The United Kingdom, we have 2,804. In France, we have 2,013. In New Zealand right now, we have 820 people listening worldwide.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Hello to everybody.
Not bad for two schmucks.
Andy, listen, how busy are you in the month of June? Are you really wrapping any programs or any shows or anything that you know right now, movie?
Say that again.
How is your schedule looking in June? Are you wrapped up in any movies or anything, or are you a little flexible in June at this point?
Yeah, I just got asked to come back home and do a film, funny enough, playing a... It's an independent feature by a couple of young kids who've seen a lot of stuff I've done and asked me if I wouldn't mind doing it. So I said, yeah, look, I'm going to have a read the script. And it's about, it's a bit of a bikey culture film. They want me to play a president of this club. And I think what they've done is adapted a little bit of what's happening in Australia at the moment, but obviously not treading on any toes there. And I've told them, I said, I won't do anything that's going to do with anybody, names, clubs or anything. So it's going to be fictionalized, but they're just trying to tell a bit of a story about something, so I'm going to have a look at that, and I've got a pilot to come home and do a bit later in the year, and me and my daughter are auditioning for a pretty big feature film there, so it's cool to be able to work in two different countries. I think really lucky to be able to do that, you know.
Yeah. We're going to do something around June 11th, kind of keep that date, because I have a all these programs you're doing, they're paying you money. I got something I want you to work for free. So I'll give you the dates on that, see if it fits. And I'm bringing a lot of people in. Great exposure, not that you need exposure. But I'll get back to you as time goes on or something.
I'm happy to do anything like that, mate.
Forget these TV programs and movies paying you big money. I want you to do something for free. You'll like it much better, I guarantee you.
Let me tell you, the one I'm going back home to do, I think I'm paying them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, to me, look, I just love the work, and I do a whole range of stuff from, like, the really good jobs. When I say good jobs, the high-profile ones on major film and television, and then I also love doing the short films, the independent films. I just did an independent feature in Texas last year, the same time I was shooting... when I was shooting Sons of Anarchy, and I was shooting that in Texas as well. That just won the Dallas, it came first in the Dallas Film Festival, so that's cool, you know. So, and that wasn't a huge pay. It's not always about the money, mate. Well, it never has been with me anyway. You know, I've always been broke, so I'm happy with that.
I'm always impressed with the short films, the independent films. I think that's the cutting edge. These are bringing up subjects which won't maybe affect all the masses, but these are important issues. I always try to watch that.
Yeah.
I'd love to be there and catch some of those films. But I like what you're doing, that idea. That means an awful lot to me. If I did films, which I don't, the independent films are good. Screwdriver and I are on the radio because people say we have the perfect face for radio.
Yeah. I've seen him in real life. He's probably better on radio.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
I feel that love.
Yeah. But no, I wanted to touch on last night's show with Criminal Minds, and it was really good to see. Like, the first show was great. I enjoyed it a lot, and I sent the word out for that. I put the links up on the blog.
What was he like? Was he wearing a suit and a tie or something?
No, actually, he played an assassin.
Oh, okay.
And they killed everybody.
You'd know all about that.
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to have that talk about those pointers you wanted.
To know people in the military, mate, because sometimes when you're doing these roles, a lot of it's guesswork, you know, and on a serious side, it is actually handy to know people who've served in the military or played different roles in life so you can go talk to them about it, because it all helps – you know, keep your role interesting, you know, and people believing what you're doing.
Right. And the other thing I want to talk about was the fact that on April 9th, we're going to do it's called the Paralyzed Vets Run. And if you're available for that to come down, I can introduce you. Bill and I live outside the biggest base in the United States.
Oh, cool.
I live a mile and a half from the back gate, and Bill is about 12 miles from me. And
oh,
it's,
great.
It's called Camp Pendleton. And
okay,
on
cool.
any given day, we have 30,000 to 40,000 Marines in rotation. And we have guys that come back from Iraq and Afghanistan all the time. And if
needing help.
And if you wanted to get some skinny on things that are happening or how to do a role, we can hook you up with that.
Well,
why don't you come and meet
people, mate, would be good, just to meet people who sticking their lives on the line and come back not in one piece, and some come back not in one piece, you know, mentally and hard to cope with. I mean, that to me is, you know, just to meet people like that and shake their hands and just, you know, tell them thanks, you know, because they don't get a lot.
No, and you've met me, and as long as I'm on my meds, I'm okay.
Yeah, thank God.
You know, Andy, we have a lot of people that came back that were bikers when they went over there, and they come down to my motorcycle shop just to be around what they're familiar with, the motorcycles. As soon as it gets crowded, they have to leave. But over a short or long period of time, become more comfortable with the crowds. They can't go to shopping mall, they can't go to the theater, but hanging out at my bike shop, they're around motorcycles, they're comfortable, and that starts getting back into mainstream, whereas other techniques are not working.
Andy, I'm gonna bring in a friend, a mutual friend that we can honestly say is a true friend of ours, and I'm gonna say hello, and then I'm gonna introduce you, okay?
Yeah, cool.
Hello, Rusty.
Hey, man. You guys hear me?
Yeah,
we're fine, buddy.
We're fine. Good. We have Andy. You're unmuted with Andy right now.
Hey, Andy, what's happening?
How you going?
All right, man. Hey, I got to say something, though, Andy. I think you've been in the U.S. too long, because when I talk to true Australians, they sound like they're drunk. And you don't sound drunk right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I got to be careful what I say to this guy, don't I?
Hey, wait a minute. I take it back. You do sound drunk.
Yeah, I have to be, mate, to ride that far down to see you guys.
Yeah, no kid.
Well, what I wanted to do was I had talked to Rusty about coming down to our Paralyzed Vets Run, and he said if his schedule permits, he'll do that, and I'd like to extend the invitation to you. It's going to be on April 9th.
Oh yeah, all right, mate. Well, you know how. Just send me something so I can, get it in my diary. Yeah, it's funny, you know. I just met a girl talking about disabled people. I met a girl at the apartments where I live, and she's written a bit of a life story about herself. And I've passed that story on to a friend. I just did an independent film for this young director, and she's from Alabama. She's an amazing person, mate. Like, she had her neck broken at birth, you know, and they thought she was going to die and all this sort of stuff. Tragic, but she survived. And amazing person, mate. Like, these are sort of people that really inspire you when you talk to those people.
Andy, my two brothers went over to Australia, and they went I won't say the club's name, they were guests of a club in a long run. And in a week's time, my brothers got into 6 different fights.
Oh, wow.
Is over there shaking hands and having beer and having a good time. No animosity, but every single bar, somebody would say, oh, you're American. Can you fight? Let's find out. An interesting country, brother. An interesting country indeed.
Yeah, it is. It is. The trouble is, I'm the one who says that and then get flogged.
You know what? He probably thought they were all drunk and he was insulting.
They're the only ones I pick on, as long as they're sitting down as well.
So,
Andy, you used to wrestle, man. You didn't have a problem with that too much, did you?
No, but I'm an old man now, mate. Come on, geez.
Hey, Andy and Rusty, that's one of the reasons I was very glad that you showed up for Rusty's party. standing next to you, Andy, I look really young.
Yeah, you've been waiting the whole night to just slip something in, mate. If it takes you that long, it's not worth it.
I've been dying all night to get that. I'm hoping I can, maybe Rusty's going to do a TV program or a movie so I can play Rusty's father in the movie or something. That'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah, every time you stand by me, you want to stand on a box or something to make sure you're taller than me, you know?
It doesn't bother me much. I'm really tired of holding my gut in around you because you got that flat stomach and I got this gut. So whenever we're around, I suck my breath in and say, God, get rid of the pictures quickly. I can't hold my breath much more.
Well, yeah, but see, I don't stand on a box. You know what he tells? You know what Rusty tells me, Andy?
What?
Put the little guy in the middle.
Yeah, in the front, in the middle, so you can see him.
Absolutely. But no, and then Rusty, I got some callers that want to ask some questions, and I'm sure they're going to ask questions of both of you guys, because I know, if I can put it out there, and you're in the Easy Riders magazine for May.
Last month, the month of May. He's got two nice pages over there about his shop and beautiful motorcycles. An interesting organization up there. You and I have been in this program many times. I like the fact that he and his crew, especially his partner T-Rod and all that, I love the fact that they're able to breathe life into metal. I'm not talking about a shop that's a bolt-on. A shop that can take metal, breathe life into it, come up with a creation. That, to me, is a motorcycle shop. Anything else is just a bolt-on thing.
If you guys are up...
Yeah, but back then, I've seen a lot of the bikes he's done. They're absolutely fantastic, you know?
Yes, they are. This one that's in there now is the Sons of Anarchy Hellraiser.
Yeah, that's a cool bike. It looks great.
Rusty, is that for Kirk Sutter? You do that bike for him for Kirk Sutter, is it?
No, that's a different bike. Kirk Sutter, we built a Super Trick FXR, but it doesn't look like an FXR. It looks more like a Dyna than an FXR. All the FXR hardware.
Because it's going to be crowded. I'm on an interview. So I was just talking to my son. He's just heading into his movie preview.
Anyhow, that bike we did for Kurt is a real nice bike. We took it up and delivered it to the studio lot a couple weeks ago, and they shot it for Hot Bike magazine while we were there. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it'll be on the cover of Hot Bike around July, August, somewhere in that area.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Before the show comes back on?
Yeah, before the show comes back on, yeah. You'll see that on the cover with Kurt sitting on the bike. Should be a real good shoot. And then the bike that they put in Easy Rider, I haven't seen the article, but it's the actual Sons of Anarchy bike that we did.
That's correct.
For those guys, that they came down and they shot a DVD while we were there. It's going to be on TV.
Actually, and too, Rusty, the timing of Sons of Anarchy in Australia, which is only into its third week, I think, now, probably the fourth week this week, that article with Heavy Duty magazine is cool as well, because I think we all got a little bit in that, so it was all nicely timed internationally, you know?
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, the Sons, that's really blown up, you know, it's just getting more and more popular. It's going into the fourth season coming up for you.
Yeah, no, it is, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pity about falling off the roof.
Kind of cool because we're right in the, we're right in the middle of where it's all going on, and we have friends all over the place that are participating in either being in the show or having something to do with the show.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And is the show in England and an Ireland as well?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. But they're only able to view it on the internet right now.
Oh, okay.
Have a guy just outside of London who he said it's only, in fact, he might be in the chat room right now, but it's only available on the internet right now.
Oh, right, okay.
Andy, can you tell us the shots of Belfast. What part of California were you going to be shooting those areas? I know some of the scenes they said were from Ireland, but most of your scenes being the main actor. What part of California were they shot from? You did not go to Ireland, did you?
No, no. Rusty would probably be able to answer to that because it's up near it's up near Rusty's other place. I honestly can't think of the name, but it was very close to where you got, Rusty. I just honestly can't remember the name of the area around there, but it was shot in around the hills up north of the 101.
San Fernando Valley, Chatsworth.
Chatsworth and that, yeah.
Up there, yeah. Yeah, a lot of the scenes up there are shot at the studio lot up there in North Hollywood, which is not Hollywood of L.A., North Hollywood, kind of Valley. There's a lot of hills on there, cool roads.
Yeah, and actually, when you see it on the screen, I mean, you wouldn't have no idea that it was two different places. It was just really, really well done.
Yeah.
I've been over Ireland. I've been very fortunate to do that. When they first talking about doing the second season, doing some shots in Ireland, I talked to the people. I've done some television. I've done that. I thought that would be really nice. It would make me really happy if I could be in the show.
I wish you could have been.
Nobody's in Ireland, Bill. We're shooting up here in L.A. I was so bummed out. But, man, I paved my own way over to Ireland to be in a movie about the motorcycles in Ireland. They said, no, Bill. No. So bummed. Once again, think of television tricking me, you know?
Yeah, movies and mirrors and magic and smoke, huh?
Yeah. But so I've been to Ireland. I thought that'd be special, being Irish, Galway Bay, Ireland, and doing a movie there. I thought that'd be just something special I'd want. And they said, nope. Somewhere in north of L.A., they told me. I said, oh, well, what the hell.
Are you guys up for some questions?
Yeah, no problems.
Hello, Merlin.
Yeah.
We have Rusty Coons out of Illusion Motorcycles up in
Westminster,
California, and I have Andy McPhee, who played the president of the Belfast chapter on the Sons of Anarchy, on the line. If you've been listening, do you have any questions for either one?
Yeah, I've been listening, and I actually got a couple of them. One, one of my family names is McAfee, so Andy and I are related. So it's all the same McPhee set. The other one is actually, and I apologize this, but it's, you brought up the subject of military and motorcycles. Bill, do you remember the Brothers in the Wind film we worked on 18 years ago? Bob Kuslava put that thing together.
Mm-hmm. Remember that.
He did. The question was, why was the biker military or biker veteran connection so big and so valuable? And it's about 58, 62 minutes, something like that. A really, really good flick. And if you got a copy, you need to loan it to Andy because it's interesting.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because he rode around all over the country with different bikers. I spent 3 days with him filming in California and Arizona, and he literally wanted to know, why were there so many veteran community? What was the connection? And he just asked, just sat about and asked, and God, it was fun. It was fun. Bill
this
got film time there, so he's not movie virgin.
No. Merlin, do you remember we had the grand premiere, and I rode my motorcycle out on stage, and I spoke about the movie a little bit, and I said, now, without further ado, I'd like to bring up the producer, director, Robert, and I forgot his last name.
Kuslava.
I stood there in front of all these people staring at me. I went over on stage, sat in my motorcycle, and finally came back to me, Kuslava. I said, come on up. But I, right there, I forgot the guy's last name, the producer. I was sitting there thinking, Oh, man. So, my bike was on stage. I sat on it, relaxed a second. His name came back to me, thank God. What a disaster that would have been.
No, that was fun because he dug right into the middle of the community and to find out. I don't know, maybe it's time for somebody to do it again.
Well, maybe we can do that. We'll have to kick that around on this side. But do you have any questions for Andy or Rusty?
Actually, it's because it sounds interesting as hell. I've never seen Sons of Anarchy. I've not seen the show.
Merlin, if you'd stay in one state longer than a couple of days, you could watch these things. It's called television.
You're
on the road
that.
Across America. If you just stop somewhere, watch these programs.
What I'll do is I do have a computer online, try and find it, because I'm real interested. The other, you know, Bill and I have talked about you, Andy, and that brought this Australian in to do the Irish club
shit.
Leader. And he had the same question I did, which was, what? Why? But he also, he also was, you know, very sure. But
we lost Merlin?
We lost him.
Okay, he doesn't get back on. Rusty and
dropped in and out a bit.
You got me again?
Yeah, you're back again, Merlin.
Okay.
Merlin, before you get into it, would you tell everybody what the hell you do? You just travel across America. That's looking for truth or something, maybe? Merlin, we lost again?
We lost him again.
All right. Casey doesn't get back on. This is the guy who just travels across America, taking odd jobs wherever he can. He's just out there looking to rediscover America. Quite an interesting character.
Hello, Pete.
Yes.
I have Andy and Rusty on the line. Do you have any questions for either one?
Well, I wanted to talk to Andy about something. When he first came on earlier, he mentioned that he did some acting in Australia, and then he came to America, and he got some gigs out here, and he did some, you know, low budget, and he did some higher paying jobs. I think that Andy and I have a mutual friend from Australia who had almost identical career path. His name was Vernon Wells. Do you know him, Andy? He was in Road Warrior, Mad Max. Vernon Wells.
Yeah,
he also played.
The name's very familiar, mate. It is very familiar.
Yeah, if you watch the Mad Max series Part 2, he was the guy with the red mohawk.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
His name is Vernon Wells. He's about 60, and he also did a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger called Commando. So you have a very similar. Your careers are almost identical. He's from Australia. He did some things in Australia, some commercials, some movies. He came to Los Angeles. He's been here now like 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And he has the same exact attitude that you do. He'll do a film for, a little bit of money, or he'll do a big film with Schwarzenegger. And I admire that. When you said that, I says, whoa, him and Vernon are almost identical. They must know each other, you know. But he got his big role in The Road Warrior, Mad Max Part 2 with Mel Gibson. And then shortly after that, he played in Commando. And, you know, he obviously made some money with those two films. And now he does little things here and there. He's still doing films. He's an older guy now. But when you said that, I was amazed. I was like, my God, you know, these guys must know each other because they're both from Australia. They both started out just doing commercials and a movie here and there, a low-budget film. They came to America, they did a couple big films, and then they went back to doing other things and commercials and this and that. So Vernon's a really good guy. He's a good friend of mine. And it's amazing that you and he almost have the identical career path. You know?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, someone actually mentioned him to me only a few weeks ago, and I can't remember where it was, but it's very funny you brought that up, because someone else said the same thing. It's like, do you know Vernon Wells? He's here. And I said, no, I don't, but they gave me the similar stories what you gave, so it's quite funny you just brought it up again.
Yeah, I'm working with Vernon to do, they have what they call the World of Wheels. And it's a huge car and motorcycle show that they do in the United States. They do it, they go from state to state. And what they do is they have celebrities signing autographs. And, I'm hooking Vernon up with the World of Wheel so he can, you know, he does little stuff on the side. He lives in L.A., but he's going to do, I'm trying to get him into the April World of Wheel show to do an appearance. It's 3 days. He'll sign autographs, he'll meet people, shake hands, take pictures. You know, he does stuff like that, and then he has another movie coming up. But, he's a very, very, very nice guy, very interesting career he's had. He worked with Mel Gibson, he worked with Schwarzenegger. Now he does some, you know, lower stuff. But he's still, you know, I think he's 60. I think he's 60 or just turned 60.
Okay.
But, great guy. Great guy. But he hasn't been back to Australia for, I believe, and don't quote me, in his 30 years. He left Australia 30 years ago. And after he did the Road Warrior, after he did Mad Max, I believe.
We're lucky enough, like I still end up going back there. I think last year I went back and did 6 things, which were, you know, mainstream TV, a couple of feature films, and mixed it with stuff over here. So, I mean, you can only, in this business, you can only be grateful, mate, that you, that you're actually working and not, let alone in one country, working in 2 countries. So,
I have major respect for people like you and Vernon because, you know, some actors, I know a few famous people, you know, and they just want top roles. But like, you know, Vernon, he's worked with Mel Gibson, he's worked with Schwarzenegger, but he's also going to do the World of Wheel signing autographs, and he's done some low budget films as well. And you seem to have that same attitude, and that's a great attitude to have because you said you were broke, and I was like, oh, my God, you know? I mean, so I admire you. It's very nice meeting you. I'm a huge fan, and hopefully you and Vernon can meet someday. You probably
yeah, look,
you,
I'd yeah. love to, mate. You know,
yeah.
I'd love to.
I mean, he's
I don't know what it is. I mean, it's like I love acting. I've pretty well done it for the last 22 years, and I'm doing a lot of stuff, and I'm happy, but... I don't really know if I'd want to be. I mean, it's a lot of dream for actors to want to be working on the huge films and, you know, being the big star, and I can understand that. That's not a problem for me. I mean, I'd probably like that opportunity too. But what I love is the fact that I can go and do all this, and it's great to have people come up and say, oh, I saw you in this, and you did a great job, and it's fantastic. It's great. It's great that you're pleasing people, but it's also cool to be able to get out and do your own thing and not be hassled all the time. So I just love that freedom at both ends of the scale. You know?
Man, that's a great attitude. That's, you know, more actors should have that attitude because they feel, I think a lot of actors feel that, oh, I work with Schwarzenegger. My next film has to be a billion-dollar movie, you know, they shouldn't have that attitude. They should just say, hey, I'm going to do a variety of things. You know, here's Vernon Wells, you know, with Schwarzenegger on one movie and Mel Gibson. Now he's signing autographs at a car show, you know, because he loves his fans, you know, and he loves his job.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's, my kids work at a pretty high level. One of them's on, she's one of the lead actors on a HBO series in America called Hung. She's done a lot of work back home in Australia, but, you know, done really well here. And my son, he's the same thing. He's been nominated 6 or 7 times over the last couple of years for a lot of films in America, like Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. He won Best Actor when he was 9, and he's working at a high level. That's where I'm at the moment. I'm at the Screen Actors Guild here. They're featuring one of his films he did in Australia, which is getting a screening here. But I keep him on my side of the fence, as my daughter does too. They're very down to earth. And Cody, you know, he hangs with me in the bike circles. I mean, he's met Rusty. He's hung out with, you know, when we go to the shop. And, you know, he comes out with me on runs and stuff. And he goes down, you know, loves messing around with bikes and Harleys and his own push bikes and altering them and chopperizing them. So, you know, my aim is to just helpfully keep him, you know, sort of, you know, grounded as well and not get too caught up in the dangerous world of Hollywood, which it can be for some people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
a thing I could probably do is, I don't know, I know you're busy, and it'd be up to Phil and Bill and you and Vernon. I can call Vernon and have him on the show, get you back on the show, and you guys can talk on the radio, and people can call in, you know, because your careers in the film industry are identical, you know. I mean, it's amazing. I couldn't believe it when you said that. You know, I know Vernon will call in. I can get Vernon to call in, not tonight.
Fantastic.
You know,
yeah,
but we could do it in a week or so.
That.
or 2 weeks,
yeah,
or whatever your availability is. I'll talk to Phil off the air about it, and I'll talk to Vern, and I'll have Vern call in. And then you can call in, and you guys can swap some stories around. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
it was nice
sure.
meeting you. I'm a big fan of you. You seem like a great man, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks.
Hey, you're welcome.
Pete, hold on. All right, hold on a second. Hello, Charlie, you're unmuted.
Hey, what's going on, Philip? How you guys doing?
All right, Bill Kennedy, we got Charlie back. Charlie, want to tell us where you're from, brother?
Hey, Bill, calling in from Nashville, Tennessee, man. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing fine, brother. Got a couple of good friends on the air tonight. We got Andy, and we got Rusty from Illusion Motorcycles. Any question you want to ask either one of our guests, brother?
I don't know so much that I have a question, but, you know, I just express my appreciation. Rusty's got a great shop, and I look at the stuff online, great work there, and the same for Andy, man. You know, what a great show, and we're a big fan of that here in our house in Nashville, and, that's a great thing to be part of American history right here, television history, with a great show that'll be around for the next 50 years and beyond.
Andy, let me ask you a question. We've got people on. Andy, just close your eyes for a second. What do you miss about Australia? Is it the food? Is it the, I was going to say the accent, but of course there'd be no accent for you if you get over there. The people? Is it the land? Is it the music? What is the one thing, is it the food? What is the one thing that when you go home that you want to see first or experience first?
Yeah, it's funny you asked that because I was only talking about that the other day. Before I answer that question, I will say that I have the utmost respect to be able to work in this country, when things aren't sort of particularly good financially and all that at the moment with everyone. So to be allowed to work here and people take you on graciously and accept the fact that you're working here, I really, really do appreciate that, you know. It's really fantastic. And I love when I go home because home is home, you know, like I'm a working class suburb boy, and when I get back home, mate, I just seriously just love to get back to my house and just see that, because where we have a lot of eucalyptus, gum trees, and just to go hang with my mates, you know, like, because I'm in the, you know, I've got a lot of friends arrive, and I just love to go back and see and catch up with my family. But it's just, it's hard to explain. It's like anyone who's away from home for a long time, you know, it's just an unexplainable feeling just to be able to get back home and plant your feet on the ground. But having said that, I've made so many friends from Sons of Anarchy. I cannot tell you. My network of friends, including Phil and you guys, has all come from Sons of Anarchy. It's increased my friends probably by 100 to 150 people. So, you know, that has really helped me stay here. It's helped bring me back to earth and just, you know, hang with the people I love hanging with, and those circles, the bike clubs and, you know, like motorcyclists and people in that world. I love it. And that's really helped me ground here, and it's also given my son opportunities to meet different people and get away from the film world a bit. And yeah, it's just great, mate. I love it, you know, as much as enjoying going home, but I still love being here as well, you know.
Yeah.
Charlie, do you have any questions for Andy? Rusty?
Yeah, I do, Andy. Now that, you know, we're talking about food, because that's one of my favorite things in life, of course, is food. But Andy, have you ever actually, have you had a Vegemite sandwich?
Oh, mate, you are asking an Australian man.
Good for you, mate.
What you should have said is, do you have cheese on your Vegemite sandwich? Yes, I do.
Now I know how to ask that question. Thanks.
Did you have any questions for Rusty? Rusty's on the line also.
Ask Rusty if he's had a Vegemite sandwich, mate.
Well, Mitch and Charlie, look at Rusty up in Easy Rider this month.
If everybody listening, it's the May edition of the Easy Riders magazine.
It just came out.
Bill surprised me with this today.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty, you're on page 26 and 27. There's five pictures in a pretty good article.
Now, wait, I got to bust Rusty's balls here for a second. I want you to look at that picture. That's one of those trick things where they made him look actually taller. Does he look a little thin in that picture? No,
what,
go ahead.
Did they make his arms look any bigger than they are?
No, look at the picture. They've got him stretched out a little bit. What?
I see Rusty more than you do, and I really, you know, I really enjoy the way I get treated and everything.
I'm just saying he looks a little thin in that picture.
You're on your own.
They get one of those pictures where they stretch the person a little bit because of the angle. You see that picture, Rusty? You think, oh my God, I lost a little more weight or something like that. You know what? In that picture, I think my arms look a little bigger than his too. No?
You're scoring points real good. You know, you're going to need more than a box when you see him next time.
I talk a lot of shit long distance. Don't you worry about that.
You just want to watch out those biceps don't get wrapped around your neck, mate, because if they do, you're in trouble.
Yeah. It's funny, guys that work out a lot, you know, if you talk to them like that, they get flexed up. You know what I mean? But get flexed up about
shit.
That. I'm not worried. I haven't seen that.
Big trouble, Rusty. You give me a call from San Diego, and I'll ride my bike on up north, give you a little hand if you're in trouble, all right?
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
Rusty thinking, okay, I'm going to got a couple guys 60 years old going to jump me. I'll call Bill. There you go.
Yeah, I'll just call the people that I got the altercation. Hey, hold on a few hours, will you? You know?
I got this senior citizen. I'll bring up from San Diego.
I don't know. Do they have buses that go that far with old age citizens in those elderly buses? Are they allowed to travel that far?
Listen to this.
Lord. Bill.
All right. I heard that.
You opened the door.
I heard that.
Andy, do you have anything upcoming that you want to plug? Or Rusty, you got anything upcoming you want to plug?
Any open houses or any parties, Rusty?
Yeah, we got, you know, things going on with the band. Let me see, we're playing up at the Key Club with Head P.E., Mushroom Head. We just got done, Muse Inc. was a good show with Suicidal Tendencies and Biohazard.
It was up in Orange County, wasn't it?
Yeah, at the fairgrounds.
It was up at the Orange County Fairgrounds, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Muse Inc. It had the tattoo show and the music for 3 days. That was a good one, you know. And we got some shows coming up. There's a thing called the Marijuana March in L.A. I think they had like 20,000 people last year. We're going to be playing that. Thinking about getting some booking in Sturgis. I think that would be good for us, you know. Yeah, so we're going to look into doing some booking. Also, we haven't even announced it yet because we just got the deal, but we're going to be building 2 Harley-Davidson jump bikes to set the world record at Sturgis this year at the Buffalo Chip. And it'll be at midnight, I think right after the Rolling Stones get off the stage. And,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, we've got Trigger Gum, one of the top stunt riders in the world. He'll be riding it. And we'll be building the bikes over at Illusion. There'll be 9 consecutive days of jumps over there, but the world record will be the last one. And
Rusty, what type of suspension are you going to be using on this machine? I'm a bit concerned.
What we're going to do is take an evolution-based sports turf, not anything that's newer than a 2002, and we're going to, because the frame's not rubber-mounted. We don't want to use rubber-mounted, and we're going to beef up the frame. We're going to put on a different swing arm and longer shocks in the back, and we're going to put on like one of those big dirt bike front ends on the front. And it'll still be, you know, relatively heavy, probably around 500 pounds or so. But the way the ramp's going to be set up, the bike's going to hit the thing at 70, 75 miles an hour. And when it lands, the ramp is going to be built up really steep. So that even though the bike's real heavy, it's not going to hit, like, at a severe angle, you know?
Right.
So it should work pretty good. It'll be 200-plus feet. It won't be as long as the metric bikes that are a lot lighter, but it'll be longer than Evel Knievel or anybody else has ever jumped on a Harley.
Oh, wow, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
Russ, are you going to extend the swing arm or anything? I didn't get that good name. Did you say about extend the swing arm?
Yeah, we are extending the swing arm, and we're going to have long travel shocks. You know, back in the old days when Evil used to use those XR's 750s and stuff, those rear shocks were only traveling, I think, 3.5 inches, you know? And now we're going to be able to use shocks that go about 7 or 8 inches in the rear, which is a lot for an external shock. Now, we could design it with a mono shock and have a lot more travel, but we want it to be more like a traditional Harley. So we're actually going to model the bike where it looks kind of like an XR 750, but bigger. You know, it's going to have much, much suspension travel front and back.
What I did was, this is Philip. What I did was, you guys, I put Rusty, I put your link address in the chat room, and right now we've got over almost 140,000 people worldwide right now checking in. And what I'm going to do is I put your email address. Andy, would you like me to put andymcfee.com in there, please?
Well, which the email address that I use for you?
No, the one that says www.andymcfee.com.
Oh, right, yeah, that's my website, yeah. Yeah, they can have a look at that. That's what I use for my acting stuff, so.
Yeah, I'll put that in there for you guys.
Yeah, well, also, what about the front end? Go back to the front end. How is that going to be beefed up? I'm going to get those all in my head. Talk about the front end, if you would, a little bit.
We're going to take one of the dirt bike front ends, you know, that they use on the motocross bikes, and we're going to transplant that onto the frame right there. So we're not going to modify a Harley front end. We're going to completely take that off and use one of the metric front ends. And in the rear, we're probably going to use an aluminum swing arm, although that's not set in stone yet.
Yeah.
And we'll be attaching that. We'll be putting the shock mount so that it has, you know, like I said, probably at least 7-8 inches of travel. And we'll have the external dual shock like the old style. So it has more of a traditional look.
On that swing arm, you think about making like 4 or 6 inches thick, or how thick are you going to make the swing arm?
Haven't decided yet, but it's going to be at least 4.
Yeah, okay, brother.
Yeah. It's going to make it really thick. I don't want to stop
close before then, yeah.
The thing is, these bikes we're building two of them, so we do have a spare, but these bikes are going to be jumped quite a bit. 9 different shows at Sturgis alone, and then we're going to set up some other events before and after that these bikes will be also jumped at. So they're not going to be used just once. You know, they're going to be
Yeah, well, I know you and T-Rod certainly know how to dot the I's and cross the T's, but, yeah, I'd be concerned that many jumps on any type of frame suspension. That's going to take a lot of checking before and after the jumps. I know you guys are up for it, but you're doing an awful lot on a piece of machinery there, a lot of jumps.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we could make it lighter. We could go without a transmission. There's a lot of things we could do, but Trigger actually wants it to be more traditional. He, at his request, he doesn't want the monoshock, which would give him twice the travel in the back, and, you know, lighter bike without the transmission.
Somebody?
Yeah.
Who we lose?
T-Rod.
No.
T-Rod.
Not me.
No, he's not there. We lost him.
Okay. Yeah, Mike, I see what you're saying about wanting the older look. I also understand what you're saying about putting today's technology with the mono shop. But I think you certainly, between you and T-Rod, you have enough ability. I don't know how much time, maybe a little bit tight. Interesting to see. I look forward to seeing it before you guys take off and all that. Who's coming in? Are we getting
nobody.
Lost?
No, we lost him.
You lost T-Rod again.
Right, he's down at the shop right now working on the Harley-Davidson sidecar that him and Gene will be racing this year, the only Harley-Davidson sidecar at Speedway. You know, that
he was just on the air. Somehow we lost him, so I don't know what happened there with that. Listen, how is he doing in that racing?
Hi.
You got Bola?
I'm good.
He's doing great.
Good.
Yeah,
he hasn't crashed lately, has he?
Man, when you race, he hasn't lately, but when you race Speedway, you crash all the
time. All around the world. It's quite amazing.
I talked to him about the fact that, again, the amount of crashes and experience the other bike is running into him. He's doing a very, I know it's a challenge, but still, he's got responsibilities, you know, taking care of his half of the shop and building and all that. And it's kind of something I think back and forth. Should he be doing it? Shouldn't he be doing it? He says he wants to, so that's what he's got to do. But he can't get racked up too bad.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, man. He'll come in with crutches and splints and all kinds of stuff sometimes, man. It's pretty funny, man. But,
I know you're taking a deep breath every time because, you know, you guys work so well together. He wants to do what he wants to do, but, again, you guys are running a business. That's important also, brother.
Yeah, we work it all out. You know what I mean? It's like we're one has a problem, the other one picks up the slack. It's a great partnership. We've been doing it about 6 years now, and neither of us have had partners before like this, and we've got probably the best working relationship you could have, you know, and as friends. You know what I mean?
I've seen you guys. You mesh very well.
In my line of business, you know, Rusty, I've been around long time, and most of the cycle builders and all that, ego always comes in. And yet when I'm around you two guys, you guys are very comfortable with the celebrity status. You're very comfortable with who's doing what and all that. The things that make your team strong instead of letting the ego get in like some of the friends we've known in the past, which have lost everything.
Oh, yeah. When you have a working relationship like that with the owners of the business, then that immediately passes on to the clients coming in getting their bikes fixed there. You know, like if the owners and the guys working on the bike get on so well, then that's going to transfer that energy through to the workmanship on the bike, and then people are going to be happy, you know.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. When we work on any project over there, we put our eyes on it and we enjoy it. It's like art to us. We like to mold every motorcycle. If we had the chance, every bike that came through the door, we would do something to make it into a better bike if the owner would let us. And we really, a lot of people let us, you know, put our touch on their bikes, and it's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun.
And that brings a lot of individuality to those people's bikes, because even though you're putting a bit of your stuff in there, you're actually taking a bit of what your client wants as well. So everyone's going to be a little bit different from the other.
Yeah, absolutely. We have people, they tell us what they want. We map it out, and we come as close as we can to getting it just how they want it, and we try to put our touch in there at the same time, and usually comes out pretty nice. I couldn't be happier with the stuff. I mean, you know, we leave the shop, both of us, and we're thinking about what we're building over there while we're gone. And then when we come back, you know, we're actually executing the ideas that we thought about while we were gone, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
First thing, I talked to T-Rod. One of the things I find interesting in your shop is the fact that he has his grandfather's tools. He's a third-generation not a mechanic. That's not the word I want. Third-generation metal worker. Is that true?
Fabricator. His family was, and he'll tell you when he comes on, they were Formula One champions in Argentina and metal fabricators down the line. His dad was one of the top. As a matter of fact, one of the custom shops over here actually brought his family over from Argentina because of their, fame in the industry to work. I think it was Metal Crafters, if I'm not mistaken, doing concept cars and Ferraris and all kinds of stuff, you know. And T-Rod honed his skills over there working with his dad and then on his own and got into the motorcycles and just went from there. And since we've been together, we've done chop tops, some hot rod stuff, but mostly bike, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun, man.
When I first met him back in the day, and he showed me his grandfather's tools, he was so proud of that he can directly correlate with his grandfather and his father and all that and continue on metal building. And as I said to you guys, you guys breathe life into metal, and that's the big difference between a bolt-on and a full-on custom metal fabricator, which I call you guys. I'm not stroking your ego now. It's a fact. But I wish you guys could have seen the look in T-Rod's face, his eyes, how happy he was to talk about his father and his grandfather. Having that family background, having that family pride, means an awful lot in the chosen T-Rod.
Oh, yeah. He's from a real tight family. He's got a picture of his dad up on the toolbox, candles up there. It's like he's watching out over the shop. You know, his dad passed away. He's there watching out over the shop almost. You know, it's like I can feel it.
Yeah.
You know, what I've done, Rusty, over all the time that we've talked and everything, and I've put everything up on the website, and I put up Attica 7, KO sent me a video of when they started building that bike, and then she sent me another one, and I've been running them in rotation, as well as the shop, as well as I'm going to start promoting some of the stuff that Andy's done. And that's what we're here for, man. It's a brotherhood. People don't understand that anymore.
Yeah, the difference between us is that we're not connected in anything. Screwdriver and I have no sponsors. We're not doing this because we want you to pay us money. We're doing this because, first of all, we like Andy's acting. As I said to you, overall, I just like the type of bikes you guys build. And since I ride with you intermittently, I know you ride your own motorcycles. In front of my shop every day, my bike, my brother's bike, and my nephew's bike who work with me, we have our motorcycles out front, and I like the fact that you people ride your motorcycles. A big difference.
And I just, T-Rod's on the horn, and I just unmuted him. Are you there, T-Rod?
Yeah, I'm right here, man.
Okay, we have, it's me, you, Bill, Rusty, and Andy.
Sounds like an everyday conversation.
But we asked Rusty about some updates on the sidecar bike. Maybe you'd like to give us a couple updates.
Yeah, we're working on it right now, man. As a matter of fact, Gene is making the spacers for the motor. We got the spacer, the motor and tranny up a quarter inch, so it fits better in the frame. And I'm adjusting push rods. I can't believe I'm on the phone while I'm adjusting push rods, man. But, you know, if this thing blows up sky high, it's all you guys' fault. Just want you to know.
I knew that was coming.
If I went three turns instead of two and a half turns, and when I fired up, the pistons fucking hit me in the nose, it's all your fault.
But one thing before anybody says anything, and I mean this wholeheartedly, I thank you guys. And you don't know how much this means to me for you guys to take the time out of your day to share this with my listeners. And Bill and I really appreciate you guys, all three of you guys, taking the time to talk to us and to talk to the people that are listening.
Dude, you know what's funny? It's like between Rusty's band and all the other activities he's got going on, and between the racing and the shop. Sometimes we don't even know fucking what day of the week it is, you know what I mean? Or if it's we've been working 2 days in a row without stopping, or you know, I leave the shop and come back the next morning and it feels like I never left, you know what I mean? It's funny, man.
Actually, you know,
hey, Rod, I got something to ask you. I talked to this about Rusty a few seconds ago, and I didn't know if you heard or not. I talked about your relationship with your family. Now, the first time you and I met, you so proudly showed me the tools of your grandfather. Can you tell us a little bit about what having a strong family background has meant to you about this?
Oh, it's everything, man. I mean, it's how everything starts. I mean, you wouldn't be anybody unless you were raised the right way, and
yeah,
it's up for your parents to bring you up the right way, you know what I mean? That's why everything you learn as a kid, you put within your, you apply towards your adult life, you know? And, my dad was pretty hard, man. He was a fabricator, and he was a proud, old-school type of guy, you know. And I'm like the only kid from Argentina that doesn't know how to play soccer. I always kid around about that, but it's true because, fuck, dude, my dad would never let me go on the street and play. I was always stuck in the shop. When I was old enough to stand on a freaking milk crate, he had me drilling parts for race cars, trying to make them lighter, drilling door hinges and things like that, and you know, that's what I did as a kid. I go to school and my hands will be all cut up. I have grease on my fingernails and everything. And the teacher get all mad because I She thought I'd never wash my hands, but that was from washing race car parts on a tub of gasoline every night as a kid. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I got a funny story. I want to tell you guys about this. And when I was 12 years old, my dad took me down a block from my house, and we went into the body shop. And I ended up, for that summer, picking up dog shit and feeding dogs and cleaning and all kinds of stuff like that. And then by the time I was 19, I was running the place. And that's how my work ethic is today. Bill can tell you, Andy, I sent you some pictures of the ships that I build. Rusty, I haven't sent you any. I should probably do that, or you guys know. I work on all the Navy ships as well as fabricate and build ships. So,
you know, it's a trip, man. It's being going back to the sense of growing up old school, you know. That's kind of why. Are you guys there?
Hey, can I say something about what T-Rod just said?
Yeah.
Jump in. You got it, buddy.
You know, like just that story he told, the first thing that comes to my head is that, you know, being an actor, you think of things when people tell you stories. And, I mean, that sort of story is something that is a great thing to put on film, whether it's a documentary or a little short film about someone's life. Because, I mean, not everybody, I mean, Rusty would know he's lucky to have a guy like that, because you can have people go through mechanical schools and learn how to be things, and they're good at what they do. But someone like T-Rod, mate, like, it's in his blood, you know. You can't train people to be like that, not when you've grown up with it. And how I reflect on his story is the same with us. Like, I love my bikes and I love my friends in the bike world, and that's what keeps me literally sane, because in the acting world it's such an up-and-down business. And, you know, like, if I don't work for a few months, I'm like everyone else, I miss it. But you know what? Having my friends in that bike world is like those veterans who come into the motorcycle shop to be with people they can be with and trust, and that's exactly how it is with me and how I like to bring my kids up. So, yeah, it's both very similar sort of stories. Like, our days will be 24/7, like, either I'm teaching, auditioning, my kids are working and auditioning, and you don't know what day it is sometimes. But for us to have that relief and be able to go mix with, you know, our friends on the other side of the fence with a different business is actually a lifesaver.
And that's what's funny you said that, because that's the first thing I say when I picked up the line right now. I said, hey, I'm just talking to the same guys I talk to all the time. Because that's why we all fucking kind of get along the same way. Because, you know, coming from different countries, but we all think the same way. We all value friendship and hard work.
And yeah, that's right.
It's not something we say just to sound cool, but that's just how we are, you know what I mean? And it's like, we're all friends and we all feel the same way. So it's like a natural friendship. You know, there's people in the world that, no matter how hard you try to like them, you can never like them. And there's people that you just meet, and they fucking stick with you, you know what I mean? And they stick with you for life. So that's...
Yeah, and that's right. And you might not see those people on a regular basis, but like my circumstance is coming from Australia, I have so many friends there that I look forward to going back to see them in my bike circles, and that excites me, you know. Like, I just love getting back to meet my friends and go hang with them, and, you know, like, it's the film industry to me is my career, but in one funny way it's actually secondary, because I know if it didn't work the way I wanted, of course I'd be absolutely disappointed, but I know there's another side to life that can, you know, you've got a reality to it. It's not, and I think that's what's kept me going so long, is just having those friends. And it passes to my son as well, because Rusty's met him and Cody comes down. He loves coming down and looking at the bikes. He designs bikes on his computer. He fixes his own little push bike and chopperizes it. And for him, that's really cool, because
I mean, he's had two amazing films come out in the States and about three back home, and he's up there near the A-list side, but he comes and hangs with me and my friends because I think that is going to keep him on the straight and narrow and not get him mixed up in things he shouldn't be mixed up in, because, and Rusty will know exactly what I'm talking about, is that, you know, there's a lot of respect around all of us in this bike world, and even if my son is somewhere and he disrespects someone, someone's going to say, hey, mate, you know, that's not right, you shouldn't be saying that. But other people are too scared to say that shit in real life, you know?
Yeah, totally, man. There's, you know, there's people that earn their place. I was, that's funny, I was talking to Wink today. Help me out with a hat. Wink just got back from Europe, and he said that when he was out there, he got treated like royalty, you know? Because guys earn his place. It was like a world. And anyways, he was dealing with some fucking punk kid today that trying to keep a battery situation, and this kid being a punk about things, and Wink goes, dude, I just don't even want to deal with this kid anymore. I says, look, he's in the industry, and you know, if this guy doesn't know who you are, waste your time explaining it to him, because he's never going to get it anyways, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm walking down the street the other day in LA to go to the gym to try and keep my my body six-packed and pumped up, but it's not working, but I still try. And I'm walking on the sidewalk, and this kid on a push bike had 4 feet of room on the right-hand side of me to go past, but he chooses to go between me and the flowers and the shrubs on the sidewalk where I'm walking, which was only about a foot, and he hit me with his bike and his elbow, and I tell you what, you know, 10 years younger, I would have actually been able to grab him off his bike, but he was too quick for me. But I let him know that if he's down the road any further, then his bike probably won't be rideable on the way home. They got no respect for anybody, mate.
Yeah, it's crazy. I say that all the time, man. I don't know where the fuck this world's going to, man, because a lot of these old school ways are gone, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, manners and respect can actually stop a lot of conflict and wars and people's disagreements with just simple manners and respect and understanding people's point of view. You don't have to agree with anyone, but you don't have to hate them either, you know?
Exactly.
Great, man. How's everything else? Is everybody still there, or is it just me and you right now?
Oh, sorry.
Drink.
Hamburger. With a lot. Coke.
Hello? Sounds like somebody's having a party over there, man.
Yeah, that's me.
I'm like, man, it sounds like a party, and I never got invited.
I'm eating a hamburger because my son's in his movie. Watching the movie and doing a question and answer thing after it, and I'm across the road eating a hamburger. I think I got the better end of the deal.
Yeah. Is Bill and all the rest of the guys there still or no?
Maybe they're not.
I don't hear any of those guys, Andy. I think they just shined us.
I think it's you and me, mate.
Well, you know, I meant everything I said. I wasn't just saying it for the ratings, bub.
Hilarious, mate.
Well, I think I'm just going to go back to adjusting my push rods over here, brother.
Yeah, cool, mate. Nice talking to you, hey.
Hey, yeah, Andy, May 7th is our first race at Costa Mesa Fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah, look, get KO to email. She's got my email. I'll definitely come, mate.
Yeah, man. I'd like you and your son to come out, man. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, for sure, mate. No, definitely do that.
It's opening season, and it's Harley night, too. We'll have the sidecar out there, and we'll have the Harley Speedway bike. It's going to be a good time, man.
All right, yeah, for sure, mate. Yeah, let KO know, and she'll email me. I'll be there. We'll both be there.
All right, brother.
All right, get back to doing those push rods, and I'm going to eat your hamburger.
Okay.
Take care, mate. Bye.
Yeah. Hello?
Andy, you still with us?
I think we didn't know where you guys were, but couldn't hear you anymore. We thought we got
so much noise in the background, you couldn't hear us.
Oh, really? Okay, is that what happened?
So you and Rusty are still, you and Rusty are still on.
Oh, all right. Good.
You guys can hear me? This is Rusty.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Rusty, do you remember that long ago we first had T-Rod on? He barely spoke a few words. Boy, has he come a long way in a hurry, huh?
Remember that time that we were on stage at that Riff's Bad Ride, me and Rod and you, and there was a, some kind of award presentation or something. I can't remember what it was. And
yes.
We talked a little bit, and I handed the mic to Rod, or you did, and he froze up.
Yeah, I handed the mic to him. I handed it to him, yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty funny, man. Yeah, he's come
a long
way.
What he wanted to do was hand the mic back and get off the stage, and but he's sure come a long way in a hurry, you know. He speaks confidently now. Of course, you've had a good influence on him. You've always been comfortable with the mic. Anytime I talk all the time. So, you know, he's come along excellent with that. And
yeah,
he speaks
he
comfortable now. He's not trying to be worried about what he's saying. That helps a lot.
Well, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing, Rusty, because Bill can tell you I was the same way as T-Rod. And he's been pushing me for a while.
Yeah, I think everybody would go through that stage. You know what I mean? You know, whether it be acting like Andy does or whatever, you're going to work your way up, you know, in your skills and, you know, and your comfort level as you keep going.
I tell everybody it's like throwing quarters on a pool table. Keep throwing the quarters, you'll get better. Keep getting up and speaking, it'll come more natural to you.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that class they have? They call it some kind of club or something. Where they practice speaking. What is that?
I know what you're saying. It's right out of my tongue right now.
Yeah, yeah. Something, some kind of club or something they call it. But
yes,
yeah, they all the time. That would be good for people that are trying to get into public speaking or get better at it, you know?
Coming out of high school, when I went to college, every semester I took a form of speech, group, individual, whatever. I deviated once when I took a theater class. I knew in high school I was a little shy, and by the time I got out of college, I took every speech class there was so I would not be worried about it. I think that helped me an awful lot. Most people are shy coming out of high school, getting in front of stage and all that.
When did you start doing the MCing events and stuff like you do?
You've heard of the non-com, where they meet every year in a different state and they give awards up for people around the world, non-com? Well, they had the awards benefit, Silver Spoke Awards. They asked me to come out to Albuquerque, New Mexico, maybe 20 years ago, and I was going to give a presentation. What I didn't know was the man before me, the year before, was Malcolm Forbes, won the award for communication, and they must have been hurting on money because the following year they made me the speaker. I received the award. I stood up in front of, oh, I don't know, 500 people, and what I immediately realized, everybody there is my friend. Everybody there is a biker. Everybody wants to understand, listen to what I had to say. From that point on, I never again felt uncomfortable because I'm always around friends.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that would make a difference. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
Andy, maybe you could appreciate this, though. When I do a large speech, you know,
Andy's
1,000 or more. Andy left? Okay.
No, Andy got cut off.
Okay. Well, Rusty, still this day, though, when I get up on stage, the walk up the stairs onto the stage, I have butterflies. When I get the microphone and I say hello, good afternoon, everything's gone. But to this day, after all these years of being on all these stages, the walk up the stairs, I still get butterflies.
Huh. Yeah, it's funny, man. When I used to first start playing shows, you know, with the band, I'd get that feeling. Oh, now it's like you don't even feel that anymore. You know, you get into the groove. You look forward to the euphoria. And the more the people get into it, the more inspired you get, you know.
Exactly. When I speak now, I look at the audience and I break it down into four quadrants: right rear quadrant, left front quadrant, right front quadrant, left rear quadrant. And when I look for, I break the audience down into four sections. I look for one person who's really paying attention to me. So my eyes keep moving from quadrant to quadrant, and I'm only really talking to four people. Those are people that listen and pay attention to me. And I've never been uncomfortable since that day.
Yeah, that would be good. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
What you doing, screwdriver?
I'm answering a text from Andy.
Oh, okay.
But the thing I talked to you about, Rusty, about April, it's April 9th. And if you're available, man, we'd love you to come down with some bikes, you and T-Rod.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
Definitely.
I really want you to put in mind about that bad ride. I really want to try and make this something spectacular. And in 2 weeks' time, I'll be answering some more of those questions you asked me about the involvement with the band, too. So I'm working on that still.
Yeah, because Andy's probably going to come down for that also.
I hear you. Yeah, that'll be fun, man. When is that again?
It's April 9th. It's a Saturday.
And June 10th, I believe, is the big bad ride.
June 11th.
June 11th, he says.
Oh, June 11th is the bad ride?
Yes.
That's the big one. Cool,
man. Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't see anything on the calendar right now, so unless some kind of a tour or something that we have to, you know, do something, we'll be there, you know.
Yeah, no, we understand. And what we'd like you to do is if you can come down, you know, bring some bikes, kind of like the setup you had at Music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe we can get T-Rod to bring down the sidecar bike. I'm sure people will enjoy looking at that since it's the only one with a Harley motor.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bring the Speedway and the sidecar, yeah. Both of them.
Yeah, as well as we're going to have vets from all over. We're going to have the paralyzed vets that we do that transportation thing for, where we raise money to keep the bus going because the government decided they don't have any money to do that. So Bill and I have these runs to help out to do that.
Just really quickly, I want to recap on that. About 8 years ago, a bunch of my friends and I raised money to give a van to the paralyzed vets from the VA hospital. They had vans, but they wouldn't take wheelchairs. So anybody in a wheelchair would take the public transportation, the city buses, to get to the hospital. However, if you could walk and you needed a ride because your car broke down, they would send a van out to your house, take you to the hospital at no charge. So I thought that was so ass backwards in life. A whole bunch of us got together. We raised money. We gave the hospital its first van.
It was a 24-passenger bus.
Yeah, big unit.
With wheel lifts.
1 year later, they came back and said, we need money for fuel, we need insurance, et cetera. And I said, well, our government's got lots of money. And they said, no, Mr. Kennedy, you and your friends donated this. You raised all this money to help the vets. What budget do we have? The government would not help us to keep this paralyzed vet going. So if you're in a wheelchair, to get the van, keep it going, they wouldn't help us out. And now every single year, we've taken upon ourselves to keep money at the paralyzed vets at the VA hospital, keep money in their kitty. So any vet in this area, in this case of San Diego only because of restrictions, any vet in a wheelchair can call up and say, I have an appointment, I can't get to the hospital, we'll have the van right to your house to pick you up. I don't understand how, and I love this country, I do not understand my government. It's ass backwards. We'll give somebody not in a wheelchair, we'll give him a ride. Somebody in a wheelchair, unable to help them. Rusty, the whole thing's backwards.
I hear you, man. There's a lot of things I don't understand about it either.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys, I gotta get going right now. But thanks a lot for having us on, and it's always good being here, man. I'll be back.
Hey, Rusty, and like I said, you know, I'm in communication with RJ, and anything you guys want to do. I mean, it's great to have you guys on the show, and the people are interested in what's going on up there, and. I hope you're getting some hits out of it.
Yeah, thank you. Just if I can plug it real quick, we've got the facebook.com/ATTIKA7, Attica number 7. That's for the band. And we've got facebook.com/Illusion Motorsports for the shop, which has a lot of our stuff that's going on up there, events and everything. And then we've got the shop. Motorcycles.com. You'll see a lot of our options up there. So
Right, and if you guys didn't get all that, it's on my blog. All you have to do is type in Illusion Motorsports or Attica 7, and the page will pop right up.
Rusty, I have one more question. You got time for one more quick question?
Yeah.
How many members are on stage of the band, Attica 7? How many members are on stage?
Four.
How the hell did it get... Seven. I never figured that out.
Everybody wants to know where the seven came from, man. Well, it started out, it was just Attica, and Attica was kind of a reflection of the music, which was kind of dark. And the process is there's a few other people on the East Coast and even in England using that name. So I decided to, then it was, they called us like Attica, like it was a freak show. So we were that, but I thought that was too long. So I didn't want to go Attica 1, 2, 3, 4, so I said 7. I like that. It's a lucky number. So it's Attica 7.
I have had more people at shows. Well, Bill, you know Rusty. How come it's Attica 7? I don't know. And then after the show, I never thought to ask you. But as soon as you said that again, I've been dying to ask that guy the damn question for a couple of years. So you just picked the number out. I counted four guys on stage. I try to figure any way to come up with that number, and it's just something you took out of your head. All right.
Yeah. Number seven, number. So that's got a little bit to do with it.
All right, brother.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing that, because it's just me. A lot of people want to know.
Right on. Good talking to you guys, man. I'll see you guys soon.
Rusty, so long. Good night, Tom.
Okay.
Bye. Who is still out there? Who's still with us tonight? Anybody out there still?
Yeah, that's the wrong number.
Who's the wrong number?
Yeah, that's the wrong number. Dial the 347.
How about the 978? You still out there? Have we lost a lot of people?
Yeah, brother.
Okay, hang on one second.
We certainly want to thank a lot of our friends that did call in, and because of the speakers tonight, we went longer than we did. I'm certainly apologize for that, but we hope you enjoyed the conversation.
Yes.
He's some interesting people.
We have Andy back.
Hang on, guys. Sorry about the noise. I'm just stuck somewhere with someone else's, mate.
That's the ball. Okay, yeah. That's right.
Oh.
I got a burger. I got a ball.
You guys put any mustard
and
tobacco with it?
Andy's still with us?
No, we lost him again.
We lost him again.
So, Pete, you got the chair, man. Go for it.
Oh. Great show. I mean, thanks to everybody. I've gotten some private messages already on my Facebook, and they're like, wow, what a great show tonight. Wow, you know, I can't believe they had the guy from Sons of Anarchy on there and this one and that one. And like, wow.
Well, that's kind of the crowd we travel in, brother.
No, we just live in California. Come on.
I will tell you that there was a lot of... interference.
Hold on one second. We got him back. I think he just wants to say goodnight to him. Hello, Andy.
There you go.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
Where I was.
No worries. Hey, I was talking to Bill.
Connections. You're back with us again, brother. Talk to us.
That's what I was saying. There was a lot of it was a good show. It was a great show, but there was a lot of interference.
Yeah, hold on, I'm gonna try again.
Noise and I got cut off. I got booted off. But some commercial came on. Just so you know. I don't know. Hermes goes through the same thing.
Yeah, no, Andy's trying to call back. That's what's going on. So he might not be able to call back and say goodnight to everybody, but I want to extend his wishes because I did talk to him to tell him that we're having a little switchboard problem. It's not Bill and I. It's not you. It has something to do with the service that we use. and we're working on that. But, yeah, like you said, Hermes goes through the same shit.
I've had some bad nights. Had some good nights. Every now and then we
exactly.
had some.
Exactly. And tonight was, till we had that little problem, we were doing great.
Yeah.
Well, I notice when people call in on cell phones, a lot of times things will happen.
okay.
You'll lose them or they lose you. I call from my house phone, so usually don't have a problem.
Right through.
Yeah. I'm old school, man. I watch VCR tapes and cassettes, and I usually don't use a cell phone, and I use a house phone, and I'm like Bill, you know?
But you should be proud of it.
I do have a Facebook page, I got to admit.
My nephew started a Facebook page for me, but I've never looked at it. I don't know. When I go for a ride, I need to be alone with my thoughts.
Facebook's
getting
sick, man.
I don't need to jam music. I want to just ride my bike. That's so important to me.
Somebody on the Hermes show the other night called it Waste Book. Waste Book.
Yeah.
So anyway, it is what it is. It is what it is. Some people go on there 24 hours a day, but yeah, great show tonight, man. Thanks. Thanks for letting me speak to Andy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he seemed real happy talking to you.
We'll have to get my friend on from Vernon Wells from the Mad Max movies. We'll have to get him on the radio to do an interview. He's just like him. I mean, same attitude, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point you're making right there. Since I've met Andy and some of the other Sons of Anarchy, there's not one of them has ever had an attitude. Not one of them expects a special chair. Not one of them expects free drinks. Every time we've been with any of them, and I'm from Jax on down, I've never been with Ron Perlman. From Jax on down,
he's kind of the moody one.
Yeah, the rest of them have all been stand-up good people. We did the party at Big Bear. We've done parties. They have absolutely no idea of the celebrity status. They're just people having a good time, and I've not met yet with an attitude.
No. No, Andy is a very, very down-to-earth person.
And they all are.
And they were supposed to come down Saturday, but they ended up in our favorite place up there in Capistrano.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got stuck at the Swallows Inn.
Yeah, well, once you're in there, you're there, yeah. A little quiet tonight. Pete's still there?
Yeah, my computer crashed once again. Oh, I hate this. I have to get a decent virus. Or I think I get some, not viruses, but I keep getting ads popping up.
Hold on a second. We got a special caller here. Hello, caller.
Hello there.
Hey, how are you? Bill, sit down.
Hey,
yes,
I'm doing great, and I'm glad that I was able to talk to you guys. I just wanted to say happy birthday to Bill. I think it was a few days back, but I didn't want to miss the opportunity to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
And also to say hello and congrats on your show. I know you're doing great, okay?
Can you say happy birthday in Espanol for me?
Feliz cumpleaños.
I like the way the words roll off her mouth. It's like poetry when I hear her speak.
Yeah,
a nice voice.
Thanks for that, Bill. Same way here.
You have a nice voice.
He does.
You.
Thank you.
The rest of the whole package is not bad either. I'm so glad that you called him.
Don't be a hater.
I know that you have to say a word to a screwdriver, but I know when you call to speak to me, and I understand that. I respect that. I appreciate you thinking
I'm
me intermittently.
I'm glad you got that clear.
We have an understanding.
Okay, great. Great for that. Well, I know your show must be finishing in a few minutes, but I'll try to keep following the show, but sometimes it's just the work or
well, I'm here to tell you right now, my quick math here, there's over 150,000 people listening right now.
Great.
All listening to you, the sound of your voice.
Voice.
Every word you say, 150,000 people are listening to you.
Thank you.
And,
gracias.
We're down to
another little girl.
Exactly. We're down to 90 seconds, and I'll call you right after this. But
okay.
This is Lulu out of Mexico City.
Why would you call her?
Why do you mean why would I call her? This is Lulu out of Mexico City.
She's called. She's talking to me.
Oh, she's talking
to you? She called here to talk to me. Why are you always assuming that she wants to talk to you?
I know.
Sleep.
Okay. Hugs and kisses for you guys.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon, I hope, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Pete, unfortunately, I want you to try to picture a very, very, very beautiful, intelligent young lady, and that's beautiful, gorgeous. That's who you were speaking to a second ago. Mexico City.
Who is she? No, she, you know her personally?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she has a very nice voice. I was like, whoa.
She is.
First I thought she was German. I couldn't pick up on the accent right away. I speak eight languages myself, but I listened.
Mexico City, they have a lot of German accents down there.
After World War II, a lot of Germans moved down to Mexico City and to get out of, you know, obviously the stuff that went on in Europe. So there's a large, large German population.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
In fact, the joke in Mexico City is try to find a Mexican. They've crossed over so many times and all that, the blonde, blue eyes, all college educated, very smart people. But also a lot of Russians down there. After the war, they went down there, too, to live.
Yeah, I came here to hide out. My family came to Massachusetts to hide out from Russia.
Right now, we're the show is off, but we're still on. You're still on the phone, Pete. So what we're going to do is we'll give you a call. Or I'm sorry. How's your brother Paul doing real quick?
Can we sound on the air?
He was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and he got out, and he's a mess right now. So he
when he feels comfortable, we're ready for him.
Yeah, he's had some issues, and he was physically sick, and then he had a small breakdown, and then I told him tonight, he said, they have, you know, a couple special guests on, just, I don't think you're ready anyway to go on. He's never been on the radio before.
Whenever he's comfortable, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate that.
He sounds like good people, though.
And do me a favor and apologize to Gino and tell him that phone bank was overloaded tonight.
Yeah, I told him what was going on. I called him on my cell phone, and I muted my house phone. When Andy was talking to, when you guys were talking, and I called him because Gina was beeping in, and I said, they have the guy from Sons of Anarchy on there, so it's a special show. And I said, call in, they might let you on and ask him a couple questions. But then again, with him, he might ask the guy for a loan. You never know. I don't know what type of questions he'd ask, but I don't know. But I thought if you call in and see if they'll put you on and ask, talk to the guy from the Sons of Anarchy. He's on there. He's cool. He's from Australia. Yeah, okay, I'll call in. But Gino falls asleep on the phone a lot, you know. So he might have called in and fell asleep on the phone anyway. So but I can tell you this. You're on Tuesdays now too, right? Tuesday and Thursday.
On by himself, he's run the whole program. I've got some medical problems with my mother, actually. A few months back, I lost my sister to cancer, and now I'm having real problems with my mother. So Spooner stepped up, and he's run the whole program by himself. Please call in and talk to him.
I think we lost you there, Bill.
I said Spooner's run the whole program on Tuesdays. I'm having some medical problems with my mother, which requires me to jump around and have people staying with her. So he's running the whole format on Tuesday. Please call and check on him, okay, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I look forward to it.
Actually, the girl from Mexico City does not have to call in on Tuesdays. She can just call in on Thursdays when I'm here.
You must really like her.
Nice people.
A German Mexican.
Philip and I go down to Ensenada, Mexico, for Mardi Gras. And you would just blow your mind at the parades, floats, carnivals. All these floats, they have all these German Bunds, which are German organizations all dressed up in the, is it the Lederhoser?
Yeah.
The short things.
Yeah,
there are so many floats with German backgrounds on it, you think you're in Germany, I swear to God. But after the war, like I said, they wanted to get out of Europe because it was, you know, ravished. They wanted to get out of Germany, so they all came down to Mexico where they were welcomed with open arms.
Huh. Never knew that. Never knew
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 1 second, Pete. I want to tell you something quickly.
Yeah.
Mexico never was involved in World War One, nor was involved in World War Two. The Axis power, Germany, Mussolini, Japan, they offered Mexico a chance to join the Axis power if they would go against America. They offered parts of New Mexico, Arizona, and parts of Southern California if they would help the European, the Axis powers, fight America. Mexico said, you're over there in Europe, America's right in our backyard, we will not fight against America. However, we will not take anything against Europe. So what they did was they sent so many spies all over Mexico City because it was a neutral country. If they thought they could have got involved, Mexico would, but America was too powerful. But if you read the history why Mexico has never been involved in the war, they're still mad at the Americans for taking all that Mexican property. That's all fact.
Interesting. I'm big into history. Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you Tuesday.
All right, he said he's actually, Phil, be saying goodnight to you.
Yeah, goodnight, Pete. We'll talk to you.
Take care. Thanks for coming in.
We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Thanks for having
he's
me on.
Thanks Tuesday,
for
okay, Pete?
Andy, and you guys have a good night.
All right, bye.
All right, take care.